This morning, I want to get right into the teaching ministry today. I'm going to encourage us with this theme this morning in the Word of God. We're going to talk about defeating the doubt problem. Yeah. Defeating the doubt problem. How many of you this morning sometimes get frustrated with things and complain about them? Yeah. Amen. Me too. I think that's everybody. Sometimes we get frustrated with things and we complain about things, but God's got a purpose for what He's doing, even when we don't understand it. Okay? So this morning, I just want to encourage us to defeat the doubt problem. And so I'm going to be looking at an Old Testament portion of Scripture today, going to the very obscure little book called Habakkuk today, and looking at chapter 1 in Habakkuk. In your Old Testament, and it's going to be on page 1227. All right. Defeating the doubt problem. From verse number 1 of chapter 1, we're going to see something here very, very unique. First of all, what we're reading this morning is a dialogue. It's a conversation between the prophet and God. And the prophet has been looking around at his world and the society in which he lives, and he's assessing things. And he's seeing and noticing that, in his opinion, in his view, the society is falling in around him. In other words, he's viewing things, and he's disappointed and frustrated at how things are going in the world. And he's frustrated with the society that he sees. And in his discouragement, Habakkuk begins to do what a lot of people tend to do when they're discouraged. He began to question God. How many of you have ever questioned God before? Probably all of us have been in that situation where we've been discouraged and not really understanding what's taking place in our world. And we begin to wonder what God is up to. And so he's questioning God here in the first four verses. And let's read from chapter 1 in verse number 1. It's the burden which the prophet Habakkuk did see. Verse 2, he says this, O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Reading from the old King James Version this morning. Thou wilt not hear. Even cry out unto thee violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Notice his complaints here. He's looking and seeing and describing to God what he sees in his world. In verse number 4, he says, Therefore, the law is slacked, and judgment doth not go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore, wrong judgment proceedeth. And so in verse 5, we get God's answer to him in this dialogue. And God tells the prophet, he says this, Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your day, which you will not believe, though it be told you. Amen. Y'all stretch your hands toward me for a prayer this morning. Father, I love you and thank you so much for the great chance that I have to share these thoughts from the Word of God. I pray that your people be encouraged this morning. I pray that we all receive from you and would appropriate the necessary life change that you have for us this morning, God. We thank you for the victory that's in this house today and the wonderful day that you have for this body of Christ. And we just love you and expect you, God, today to move in this house all day long and tonight. In Jesus' name, we pray together. If you believe it, come on, say a good amen. I want to point out this morning that the prophet Habakkuk had four big problems. First of all, in his complaint today, we see that he had a very serious vision or sight problem. You see, Habakkuk could only see what was going on right in front of him in that very moment. What he failed to understand was the depth of God's plan, and he didn't see in faith that God was moving behind the scenes. It's something we need to understand this morning as well. Because we all confessed earlier, sometimes we get frustrated and we complain about things. But we don't want to be like the prophet this morning who failed to understand and know that although we didn't see God's big plan, we need to have faith to know that God's still working behind the scenes. Yeah. See, there's always a problem when we assume that God isn't doing something great behind the scenes when we don't see what he's doing. Church, our God is always up to something. He's never out of control. How many realize this morning that God is always in control? Even when you think he's not in control, God is in control. Let's receive that this morning. It'll build your faith. Number two, not only did he have a sight or a vision problem, Habakkuk had a very serious me problem. Everybody say a me problem. He said this. He said, I am crying, but you're not hearing. I am crying out, but Lord, you are not saving. He said, I am seeing iniquity, and it's causing me some grief. Look what he said. He said, there are ugly things going on all around me, God, and I want to know what you're going to do about it. Notice all the I's and me's in his statements. See, the prophet had gotten so focused on himself in this moment in his life. He'd focused so much on himself that he began to feel entitled to receive an explanation from God. This is where we land from time to time. Something happens that discourages us, or something happens that we don't agree with or we're disappointed about, and we begin to wonder, God, why are you allowing me to go through this thing? And we need to realize this morning that God, our God, is way too sovereign and he's way too infinite to owe us an explanation about anything that he's doing and when or why he's doing it. He's God and we're not God. There's always a problem, church, when we become so focused on ourselves that we lose sight of God's bigger picture. Amen. See, we can't be certain. We can be certain this morning that God is watching you in your life and your family. You can be certain that God is doing something that we will not comprehend, church, until he is ready for us to comprehend it. That should help some of us lean into God and be patient through your tough circumstances this morning. Trust me, guys, when God gets ready for you to know what's going on, he'll fill you in. Amen. Let's not have a me problem this morning. Just doing some pastoring today. I want us to, I know it's kind of in everybody's wheelhouse right now, but we're going to pick it up in a minute. Amen. Number three, not only did he have a sight problem and a me problem, but the prophet had a very serious complaining problem. I know none of you have ever gotten to complaining about anything before, have you? Amen. We wouldn't do that. But the prophet had a serious complaining problem. He asked God this. He said, how long shall I cry out without you hearing me? What a complaint. He asked God, why are you letting me grieve because of all this stuff I'm seeing before me? See, verses 1-4 of what we read in our text this morning are basically a big, long complaint about what the prophet perceived to be the inactivity of God, and a complaint about the spiritual climate that he was living in. He was complaining to God. It's not too far removed from what we land on from time to time when we view our world in which we live. But see, church, because Habakkuk had a vision or sight problem, and because he had a me problem, and because he had a complaining problem, it meant that he also had a serious doubt problem. Everybody say doubt problem. He doubted God. See, he told God this: the law is slacking. Judgment is being neglected. The wicked are enclosing around the righteous, he complained, and wrong judgments are going forth. Essentially, church, this morning, what the prophet was asking was this: God, where are you in all of this? Where are you, God? Why are you just deciding to lean back and let the world go through this? Or why are you just deciding to watch while I go through these things? Where are you and what are you going to do about it? I think it's important for us this morning to pause for just a moment and realize that the societal issues facing Habakkuk in his day look a whole lot like some of the problems that we're seeing in our day. How many realize that this morning? We understand this. Political unrest, societal discontentment, unrighteousness, and backwards thinking are flooding the political and the moral spectrum in our day to the point where people don't even know what's right and wrong anymore. Oh, that's why I always like to remind everybody, let's be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Let's be filled with the Holy Spirit, and let's be focused and dedicated to the call of God and the great move of God. Why? Because this world desperately needs to see a group of people that represent the body of Jesus Christ today like never before. We need to be showing them what true love really looks like, showing them what servanthood really looks like, not showing them a heavy-handed, critical, judgmental. Come on, y'all. We need to be showing them what Jesus does. Jesus loves, heals, restores, and forgives people. And that's what his body ought to be doing in our world today. Come on, if you believe it, give him a praise right now. Come on. Just like the prophet, it's easy for us to look around and see that in many areas of life, things aren't going the way we think they ought to go. But church, we need to continue. We need to continue to believe and function as people of great faith this morning, regardless of what's going on. We need to make sure that we don't fall into the same trap of doubt that the prophet had fallen into. See, sometimes just like Habakkuk, you and I, we also have a vision problem. That means that when times are tough, we often have a hard time seeing past our present situation. There are even some times when you and I have a me problem.
That's right.
Can we deal with that?
Amen.
That means this morning that when things aren't going as planned, we might become focused on ourselves and start to do things like complaining and focusing on me, myself, and I.
Yeah.
Not enough of my preferences are being met. Not enough of my personal vision is being met. I'm not being stroked the right way. Things aren't happening in my favor like I want them to. God, why are you making me go through this? Forgetting what the word says, that you've not been tempted with anything beyond that which is common to man. But with that temptation, God is faithful to make a way of escape. Amen. Come on, it means if you're going through it, God has already looked into your life and you can absolutely get through it in Jesus' name. So sometimes we have a me problem. We all do it sometimes. There's no way around that. But when we do, our vision problem and our me problem usually leads to a complaining problem. Just like the prophet in our text this morning. That means this, church, that when things aren't going as planned according to our preferences and our ideals that we make for ourselves, then our tendency is to begin to find out whose fault it is. Y'all listening to me this morning? See, if things aren't working out in our life, then it must be somebody else's fault, right? It's got to be somebody else's fault because we wouldn't get ourselves into any messes now, would we? Come on. I don't know about you, but just about all the messes I've ever been in, I made my own mess. Yeah.
Right.
Sometimes people blame the devil on stuff they got themselves into. Here's some revelation for us this morning. The devil didn't make you do it. He didn't make you do anything. Pray for me, the devil's after me. I keep doing this and that. And I'm like, well, here's some word for you. That's not the devil, that's just your flesh. So sometimes we fail to realize we're not just dealing with the devil, you're also dealing with the world and you're dealing with your flesh. Which according to Galatians chapter 5, if you were here Wednesday night, you know Galatians chapter 5 says that the spirit is warring with your flesh. And your flesh is warring with the spirit. Why? So that you don't get what you want either way. Amen. The devil this and the devil that. Let's be responsible disciples this morning and realize sometimes it ain't the devil, it's just you getting what you want. Amen. The Bible says that sin is manifested when our desires conceive with sin. Amen. It's your own desires. So when we start complaining, we start to feel victimized. We start to feel neglected in our life. And everybody's got to know what we're going through. And we'll begin to feel like we're complaining, we're neglected, we're victimized by God or by others. And fault finding can start settling into our lives. And let me disciple right here for just a moment, church, because your fault finding in the language that you choose and the blaming and the fault finding, these are dangerous areas to get into your language life.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
The book of James chapter 3 tells us that the tongue is like a fire. You realize that the Bible compares your language, the tongue, the words that you use to like the rudder on a ship.
Right.
You realize some people's ship is going in the wrong direction. It's because they can't control that little rudder in their mouth.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
The Bible says very clearly in James chapter 3 that you control the ship. It's going to go wherever the captain wants it to go. Amen. You'll change your thoughts when you change your thinking. Come on by somebody.
Amen.
So fault finding. That's when you're discouraged and when you're looking to lay blame on something or somebody because of the undesirable situation that you're in. And those are dangerous places to go, church. Because sight problems and me problems and complaining problems always lead to that more serious spiritual condition of having a doubt problem. And goodness, how we don't need to doubt God. We need to know and understand that God is in control and His word is true. And He'll do what His word says He'll do. If you believe it, say a good amen this morning. You see here, the situation is this. That doubt problem is when you and I can't see past our right now. It's the same problem Habakkuk had. When we can't see past what's going on right now, and we begin to be too focused on ourselves, and we start complaining, and we start laying blame for the way things are. And inevitably, when we begin this process, and we wind up here with our language, we'll always start asking God, Lord, where are you? Lord, why are you putting me through this? Lord, what are you going to do about what I'm experiencing right now? Let's be matured in our discipleship process and understand something this morning, guys. And that is this. Great faith doesn't question God. Great faith rests in the power and the promise of God. Amen. Sometimes we begin to complain and question God. And I'm going to tell you this. Every time, it's really rarely a faith problem and more a self-pity problem. Amen. I promise it's going to pick up in just a second. I promise. We're going to get positive here in just a moment. Hey, sometimes we need training in the Word of God. Amen? So let me remind us of this. Here's the thing. We'll complain to God. We'll say, you know what, why are you going to let me go through this? As if we need to remind God to look in our direction and take notice of what we're going through. Is the Lord, don't forget about me over here, right? Don't forget that I'm over here too. You're so focused on ourselves sometimes that we forget that God always sees. Let me remind us this morning about the nature of our Heavenly Father right here. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 10, verse 29 through 32. He said this in verse 29. He said, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. In verse 30, but the very hairs of your head are numbered.
Right.
Amen. Jesus said this, do not fear, therefore. Why? Because you are more valuable than many sparrows. Amen. See, if God is focused on the sparrows and things happen in His will, you don't have to worry and be afraid about what's going on in your life or whether or not God notices what you're going through. Because the hairs on your head are numbered and He cares about you that intricately and that thoroughly. God is interested in you and your family and what you're going through. If you have any doubt in your heart whether or not your loving Heavenly Father this morning is in perfect control concerning your situation, be reminded this morning that He's got your hair numbered. He knows your name. He is omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. That just means that He's everywhere. He's all-knowing and He's all-powerful. You can't catch Him off guard. You can't surprise Him. And there's nothing that can come across the path of your life that can catch Him by surprise. He's in control. And you cannot knock Him off His rocker. He's God and He sees it all. And He loves you just enough to snatch you away from the danger when you need Him to. Amen. We got to get it in our spirit today. And His eyes. In His eyes, guys, you have great value. I wish everybody could get this in their heart this morning. I think sometimes the enemy, when you experience something negative in your life or you experience a great tragedy or a great disappointment, the enemy will come at you and try to convince you that that has something to do with your value in God's eyes. That you must not be as important to God as you once were or as somebody else is. But let me remind us of something today, church. God's got a plan of something going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. Jesus said that you're more valuable than many sparrows. Therefore, do not fear. Where is God? in all of what you're going through. Well, he's working a perfect plan.
Right.
Amen. This builds my faith an awful lot when I think about every little thing that I've gone through in my life has led me to this moment.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Right.
See, I get up every single day of my life and I realize I only get one of these. I get one chance today.
Yeah.
One chance to leave a mark. One chance to make a difference. I don't want to waste any moments. Why? Because everything I've ever been through in my life, from growing up the way I grew up, to every heartbreak, to every situation, every sense of loss, every experience that I've had, every victory, every major win, everything I've ever come to in life has led me to this moment to tell you right now that God cares about you. You are more valuable than anything in His eyes. God is in control, and He's not going to leave you behind. And just because you go through something doesn't mean that God's looking the other way. He's still on top of your situation. Do you receive it this morning? Let's remember Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13, and you all know it. God told the prophet, "For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." That should encourage us because God is thinking about you this morning. He goes on to say, "Then you will call upon me and go and you will pray to me and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and you will find me. And when you search for me with all your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord." Come on.
Amen.
I want us to see this morning that God's answer to Habakkuk was very, very peculiar and very special and applies to us too. After the prophet had gotten through with all of his complaining to God, he said that the Lord answered and said this, "Behold ye among the heathen." This is verse 5. "And regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your day which you will not believe, though it be told you." I looked closely at this and I found four things for us to take away from God's answer. First thing is this, and we need to get this in our heart. God knows exactly where you are. Let me say that one more time. God knows exactly where you are. Notice his answer begins very encouraging. He says, "Behold ye among the heathen." In other words, this morning, you don't have to complain. God knows you're surrounded by heathens. He already knows. He knows you're surrounded by them. Don't be shocked and surprised by the fact that his plan might involve you staying among the heathens longer than you want to. You're not in heaven yet. Come on, somebody. You're not in heaven yet. Jesus said it this way, that you and I, we are to be the salt and the light in the world. See, it's okay today if you get frustrated with people from time to time. Even Jesus himself said this, "How long must I endure this faithless generation?" But you and I, church, must calm down and see that God's plan involves the bearing with people in order to fulfill the Great Commission and to be his witness. See, sometimes you're not called to be separated. You're called to bear with them.
Yeah.
Amen. He already knows who you're around. And he's got a plan for you in the middle of your mess. I love to think about it that way. When people come to me complaining about the mess that they're in, my mind automatically shifts and goes to, well, I wonder why God has you there. He don't have you there to suffer. He's probably got you there to be a great example of faith and endurance and a witness right in the middle of that garbage. Somebody say amen this morning.
Amen.
Come on. So he understands. Don't get mad at the heathens. Why? Because you're here for them. Amen. We are here for them this morning. Don't get mad at people. Don't get mad at God. We're here for them. Number two, we need to regard and wonder. That's what he told the prophet. I want you to regard and wonder. This means that if you and I, we're not to look and complain. We're to look at our situation with faith and excitement and wonder what incredible thing God has in store. But y'all, I thought y'all would get more excited about that. Here's the thing about this. We look at a situation and immediately we look at self and self-pity takes over and complaining takes over. But what we ought to do is look at the dire strait that we're in from time to time, assess the bad news from time to time, and realize this, faith, let faith come out of our language. Let us say, Lord, I realize it might not be tough. I may be in for a tough day. I may be in for a tough week, month, or even a tough year, but God, I just wonder. I regard this right here. I just wonder what you're up to behind the scenes. Because if things look bad in my eyes, it must mean that God's up to something that he's withholding the answer for, because I might not believe it even if he told me about it. That's what he told the prophet. There's reason to get excited when you go through something. The Bible says it this way, rejoice when you go through things, trials of many kinds. Sometimes you just got to let faith and perseverance work itself out, church. Regard and wonder marvelously today. He said, for I'll work a work in your day. That's what he said. Amen. So the third thing is this. He's doing something right now. Come on, somebody with faith, say right now.
Right now.
Again, with boldness this time. Come on, say right now.
Right now.
It's when he's moving. Too many of us are waiting for change without faith. That means you're just thinking that you're holding on patiently until God moves. But here's what he said. I'll work a work in your day. That's right now. See, you just think because it's not going so well for you that God's not doing a work. But let me tell you right now, God's doing something. He's not going to do it. He's already doing it. He's doing it right now. Somebody say right now.
Right now.
It's not up to us to understand what everything that he's doing. It's up to us to yield to him and get involved the best way he'll let us get involved. Amen. Great faith. He'll work a work. See, God isn't withholding that great work for some other person. He's not withholding that great work of work for some other generation or some other time. No, he's doing it right now. He'll do it in front of your eyes, church. Listen, just be patient and keep working and keep being diligent and keep being faithful and hold on, because God is going to reveal what he's got going on behind the scenes. Hold on if you want to see the blessing and get a hold of what God is doing. Amen. Don't give up and throw up the towel and throw your hands up and say, oh God, why are you letting me go through this? Well, why don't you get your eyes off of your preferences and off of your feelings and onto faith and believe, you know what? I may not know what it is. I just trust that God Almighty, my Heavenly Father who loves me, I don't have to know. All I got to know is he's in control, and whatever he's got going on, when he begins to reveal it, I'm going to be all up in it. I'm going to say, Lord, yes. Y'all ain't hear me this morning. Come on. Hey, we got to get it in our hearts today. Amen. Finally, he says about his work, and I love this point from his answer to the prophet. He says, you know what? I'm doing more that you don't see than what you do see. That's what he told him. He said, the work I'm doing, you won't even believe it if I told you. In other words, God is doing more behind the scenes. He's doing more that you don't see than you do see. He's working and doing behind-the-scenes stuff. And church, here it is. God's behind-the-scenes work is too much for us to understand. You wouldn't believe what he has in store even if he told you and went ahead. He's doing something. That's why we've got to do these quick three things very quickly today. And we're going to be through with this teaching this morning. Defeating doubt. In every situation, defeat the doubt problem. Here it is. Number one, you and I need to see beyond the present. See beyond the right now. One of the toughest things for a lot of people to do, and I'll tell you this, it is a major faith issue. When you and I learn to see beyond the right now. See, very often we're blinded by our present conditions. We're blinded by our challenges and our conflicts. But today I'm praying that God will begin to open your eyes. That he'll begin to let you see beyond your present. Beyond the present for yourself. Beyond the right now for your family. Even beyond the present situation for this church. Because God's doing things behind the scenes right now that are going to manifest a little bit later. And you're going to be so glad that he's working behind the scenes. He's working a work, and that means that he's going to help you see how to fulfill his will and accomplish his great purposes in your life because of what he's doing. You won't see it, you won't believe it until you start looking past the mess and past the current situation and in faith believe what God's doing right now. Amen. Can you receive it today? Amen. Number two thing, defeat doubt permanently. You have to assess your situation spiritually. Assess your situation from a spiritual perspective.
Yes, you do.
You can't look at things and say, well, it's just not the way I want it. It doesn't feel right. You can't look at things from a tangible perspective when God's doing intangible things. You have to assess your current situation from a spiritual perspective. It's like David. We all know the story of David and Goliath. I've always been impressed with David. When he faced Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17, he sized up that situation from a spiritual perspective.
Yeah.
He didn't look at it like the army did or like Saul did or like his brothers did. They assessed it from a physical perspective, but David assessed it from a spiritual perspective. He didn't look at the size of Goliath and the circumstances around him to determine whether or not God would work a work right then. No, he looked at it spiritually and he stepped off in faith and he said, you know what? Physically, it doesn't look right. Physically, it may not feel right. Physically, it just don't seem like everything is right where it needs to be. But spiritually, I know I'm a child of God. Spiritually, I know what God's word says about me. Spiritually, I know how big my God is and what his word says that he'll do. And I'm just going to assess it from a spiritual perspective. Why? Because you know what? Spiritually, God is always the winner. He's always the victory giver. David didn't assess it physically. He just believed God. He didn't look at the present. He didn't focus on his own limitations, which is what we do. He didn't complain with his voice about how big the giant was and how sorry or useless Israel's army was, which they were at that time. He didn't complain about it. Nobody did. He just got in the spirit and he stepped up and said, you know what? I don't know what all y'all are thinking, but I know in whom I believe. I don't know why y'all are scared and half witless over here when I know what God said he'll do. I don't know why you guys over here are so fearful to face this giant when he is standing in your face, offending you and telling you that your God is worthless. Don't you believe in God? Don't you believe in what he says? Don't you have, you ain't hear me this morning. You see, he didn't complain, he just stepped up. Somebody say, step up. That's all he did. And finally, number three, defeating the doubt problem for good. Move forward in God's strength. Come on, say it with me. Say, move forward in God's strength. Moving forward in God's strength. Seizing your strength from God. When we know that God is working a work, then we rely on the promise of God to get us through. Not however much strength that you can muster. Not how much knowledge or skill that you have or your own experiences. No, I tell you, we're always going to be limited when we focus on what we can do. But when we begin to focus and receive and step off into what God can do, that's why I'm always reminding us about Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. See, I like to remind everybody, you're not going to make it through looking at your situation, then assessing things physically, and then doing all you can do by yourself. No. You got to seize strength from God and move forward in the strength of God. You'll always have his word, his hand of safety, spiritual life and healing, power from the Holy Spirit. These are things that God promises us to get us through. You don't have to live another day in great doubt, church. You don't have to doubt what God will do because God's doing a great work. He's doing it right now, and you and I can believe it and receive it today. If you're facing something difficult this morning, you're wondering, God, why am I having to go through this? Why don't you just do this today? Why don't you make up your mind right now not to put your trust in your what you perceive physically. Put your trust in what God said. He's doing something behind the scenes that you don't know about. Aren't you glad about that, church? I want to pray for you today for you to have great faith in God. Don't stand with me all over the house. I've been edified today. How about you guys?
Thank you so much for viewing today's message. We hope you are inspired and encouraged by something you heard today.
If this is your very first time viewing us online, we want to give a very special welcome to you and your family. We'd love to hear from you.
If we can pray for you and encourage you in some way, let us know in the comments.
Hope you and your family have a wonderful day.
We love you, and we're so glad you connected with us at Loxley Church.